It's time for Wisconsin Life. Irish dance is booming in Milwaukee, where there are 7 dance schools and counting. Irish dancers typically keep their arms straight at their sides, or their legs quickly leap, kick, and shuffle across the floor. In celebration of St. Patrick's Day, WPR's Maureen McCollum attended a recent Irish dance competition known as a FESH in Economal Walk to check out Wisconsin's dancers and teachers.
A FESH? No one knows what a FESH is. A FESH is an Irish dance competition. It is craziness, but it's a competition where kids get to come and dance. We have 930 competitors. They come, they do 2 steps of a dance on stage. We have reels, we have jigs, we have slip jigs, hornpipes, treble jigs, sets. I am Maura Kathleen Heck, and I'm an Irish dance teacher and owner of Cashel Dunhy School of Irish Dance in Milwaukee.
It's just really fun. You get to fly, which is awesome. And I don't know, it just takes everything else that you're stressed about away, and you just get to focus on dance.
My name's Siobhan McPhail. I'm 14. I dance with Kinsella Academy of Irish Dance, and I live in Milwaukee. I think it's definitely a sport because you need to have stamina and strength and flexibility and anything that any other athlete needs.
I'm Mariana Papa George. I'm 13 years old, and I dance for the Trinity Academy, Mequon, Wisconsin, or Milwaukee. I competed in the under-14 Open Championship category, and I just finished my treble jig. This dress, it's baby blue. It's a lot of white. It has a lot of accents on it that's like a Celtic design, and it's kind of like a tennis skirt style. And then my mom added some blue crystals along the sketching of the skirt and then to the bodice.
The dresses many years ago used to be more authentic, and they would actually had Irish designs on them from this book called The Book of Kells. They've evolved into more geometric shapes and bling, as everyone calls it. And the hair, I can't. There's folklore about, you know, oh, back in the days of ancient Ireland, like, they all curled their hair and so it bounced nicely as they, you know, were dancing down the aisles and dancing at the crossroads. When I was younger, we actually had to put the little pink curlers in our hair and sleep on them overnight, and your head against a window if you're driving to a FESH in Ohio. Oh, it was so painful. And then it took, you know, an hour to uncurl them in the morning. Now they're wigs and they take 5 minutes.
I like to put the wig on the Americans. My name is Sean Beglin, and I am the owner and director of Beglin Academy of Irish Dance. Before I finished high school, I was with Riverdance part-time, which still is a big Irish dance show. I left high school and got a call 2 days later that Riverdance wanted me full-time, and my first city was Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Riverside Theatre. We're very lucky to be in Wisconsin. What is great about this city is that in Milwaukee we have Irish dance plus Irish music plus Irish singing plus Irish language. We have Celtic studies. There is such a bloodline of Irish running through this area of America that you can't get away from it.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode is produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more info, visit wisconsinlife.org.
We heard Sean Beglin there. He joins us now to tell us more about Irish dance in Wisconsin. He's formerly dancer for Riverdance and owner and instructor at the Beglin Academy of Irish Dance in Glendale, Wisconsin. Sean, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing this St. Patrick's Day?
Not too bad. I'm running between shows right now. We're having a great time. We just finished up at the County Clare, and I'll be heading over to the Silver Spring House, but I'm delighted to join you.
Excellent. A busy day for you, I bet. So you were talking in the piece we just heard about the Irish scene in Milwaukee. What do you love about the Irish scene as you see it in Milwaukee?
Well, I said to my dad years ago when I moved here that, number one, the people of Milwaukee and Wisconsin are the closest I have found to the Irish. So I have settled in quite well here due to the hospitality of Wisconsinites. And I first came over here as a young 14-year-old to dance at Milwaukee Irish Fest. And I stayed with a host family in Shorewood. And from that moment, my eyes were opened to the Irish culture is so big outside of Ireland, you know. So from that 14-year-old boy getting up at Irish Fest on the stages where now I bring my dance crew. And as you know, and you mentioned earlier, one of seven great schools in the area. It's just, you know, it's just what Irish dance and culture can do for young kids, for their personalities. For me, I was a shy young boy, and I could never speak in front of people, but I could dance. And from there, I was able to gain confidence, get into a show, and now I'm able to talk to you on the radio.
When I have recently gone to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Madison and the Irish dancers go by, I see usually a lot of girls and not as many guys. Is that typical in Ireland as well, or is it something that's spreading to both genders?
It is. You know, I myself, I suppose being a male teacher, I probably have a few more boys in my ranks. My school has about 125 kids, and I'd say I have about 15 boys now, and actually a lot of them in the last 2 years are coming into it. So I'm looking forward to my future with my young boys growing up here in the school. But it is definitely heavily female when you come to competitions and shows. Just I suppose, I don't know if it's the attraction of the costumes and the wigs that do it, but I think generally across all dance forums, you know, the girls outnumber the boys. But that just means that, as the popular movie would say, the odds are ever in your favor.
Well, one of the young dancers in that piece we just heard said, "You get to fly." Is that what Irish dance feels like? Does it feel like you're flying?
Yes, it does. I remember, again, it was coming across to America in the mid-90s to the North American Championships. And I had been doing reasonably well in competitions. And I think it was the excitement of coming over to America to dance at an overseas competition that I got this spring in my step. And for me, that was, you know, when they say it clicks. Well, it clicked for me that day. And I remember soaring through the air on a leap like I never did before. And I'd done great in the competition, and I've been able to soar like that. Even though I'm getting a little older now, I still can. I still challenge my students a good bit.
Well, how much work does it take to keep it up? From what I've seen, the legs just keep on going. It's crazy, and the kicks are so high. How much stamina do you need to do this thing?
It's a lot of stamina. When I was with Riverdance, we would tour for about 9 months out of the year, and we would take the summertime off, and I'd go back to Ireland. So we'd have about 8 weeks off, and then we'd come back, and I was in the North American tour. I came back, and it would take, even though that was only 8 weeks, it would take a good week of doing, it would take the whole week of doing 8 shows to get your stamina back. And that's me being a professional, you know, and doing it every day. So if you sit back for 3 or 4 weeks, you lose that stamina, and it takes twice as much to get back. I think any athlete will, you know, will say the same thing. But Irish dance, you know, you have to keep your arms by your side. You're thinking about so many things. You're thinking about turning out your feet, crossing your feet, keeping your knees tight. And, of course, there's two looks to an Irish dancer. One is a genuine smile, and then the other one is a very serious look. So you got to pull each one off to a T.
I've always been curious about the arms straight at the sides aspect of it. Where did that come from? Do you know?
There are some old wives' tales. One, of course, I think the most popular one out there is that back when the English ruled over Ireland, they outlawed any dancing and singing. One of the things, the elements that came out of Irish culture was the Shano singing, which is without musical accompaniment, and it's just the lilting of the voice. And people say that was when there was no instruments, and so we made music with our mouth. And with Irish dance, the old story went that the English soldiers walked back past the window of a house and they'd look in from a distance. And, of course, they could only see from the waist up. So they saw there was no Irish dancing going on. But, of course, the Irish being cheeky from the waist down, they were dancing away.
I don't know if it's true, but I hope it is. That's a great story. Is Irish dance, is it strictly traditional, or are there people who are trying to move it in a new direction, take it forward, add some new moves, give it a modern twist?
Well, of course, back in the 90s, Riverdance, who, as you mentioned before, I was lucky enough to take Michael Flatley's shoes, to fill his shoes in that show. That, of course, sent Irish dance into overdrive, and especially in America, population numbers, you know, went through the roof. My wife started dancing at about the time of Riverdance, and within 4 or 5 years of starting dance, she was in the show, and I met her, and we're happily married with kids now. And now, after almost 20 years of Riverdance, for example, down in Chicago right now, there's a show, Heartbeat of Home, which is the same people as Riverdance, and they are doing a new contemporary piece and a lot more involvement of different styles incorporated into the dance. And not just having, you know, different flamenco and ballroom in there, but they also are having the Irish do a little bit more and stepping outside the box.
Yeah, so a lot of new things happening there. I'm wondering, what would you say separates someone who is really exceptional at this kind of Irish dancing from someone who's just a dabbler? What does it take to really soar at this?
You know, Irish dance is really for everyone. You know, you can take, like I mentioned, I was a shy kid. You can take a shy kid and you can help them, you know, come out of their shell through dance, and then to, you know, to help them go on to a job later on in life. You also can take a kid who, as I could say, could be come in the door bouncing off the walls, and you can teach them a little bit of patience, you know. But to be really good, if you're talking about going to the competition end of things, I always say to my dancers, the most powerful part of your Irish dancing is your brain and thinking. I mentioned before, you have to think so much about many different things. You know, we can train hard, but ultimately, as in anything, it's your brain that'll get you there.
Well, that's good news. What about being Irish? Do you have to be Irish to do this dance, or do you have people there from all different ethnicities?
Not at all. I, in my ranks in my school, I have dancers from Russia, Russian-speaking, German-speaking, Irish, and all different backgrounds and colors. And that has given me a lot of pride, obviously, from growing up in Ireland and coming across here. And there's no such education as travel. And going around America and other countries, I was able to meet different races and different backgrounds and really get to know what culture is about, different parts of the world. And for me now in my studio, as I look around and teaching all these kids, a kid is a kid. And when you see a kid with a smile on their face dancing, it doesn't matter where you come from or what's your background. As long as you get a smile on that kid, it's for them.
Excellent. Sean, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing Irish dance with us.
Thank you very much. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And the same to you. That was Sean Beglin, formerly dancer for Riverdance and owner and instructor at the Beglin Academy of Irish Dance in Glendale, Wisconsin.